Hey there, everyone, and welcome to this week's No Refund Theater podcast. This week, NRT proudly presents The Philadelphia Story by Philip Barry. You can see this show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that's April 23rd, 24th, and 25th, every night at 8 o'clock in 111 Forum, all for free. All right, I'm here with the director, assistant director, and a few cast members of The Philadelphia Story. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Ted Shylock, I'm the director.
I'm Adam Buck, I'm the assistant director.
I'm Erin Lane, I play Tracy Lord.
And I'm Jesse Leo, and I play Liz Imbrie.
All right. Now, Ted, who else is in the show that isn't here today? Your cast and crew.
We have a very large cast. This is the largest show I've ever directed with 11 cast members. And I always leave people out when I'm trying to think about them. But some of the cast members that aren't here are Ryan Simmons, Matt Davidson, Jason Cassidy, John Escrabis, Elena Mercurio, Bram McGinnis, Alex Principe, Sam Horvath, and Alyssa Dytko.
Oh, wow. So this is sort of like the all-star lineup for No
Refund
Theater.
I like to think of it that way. I think I really lucked out. This has been a very fun, very talented cast to work with.
Who did you have to bribe and kill to get all these great
I slept with everyone.
Everyone.
It was great. Yeah, okay. Good
for me. No, it worked out very well for me. I got so many people that I really wanted, and I felt that personally I didn't have to compromise as much as some other directors did. I had a lot of people with a lot of interest in this show, and that helped in casting.
That's cool. Is it a very well-known show, or...?
I believe it's fairly well-known. I think it it gained more recognition because there was a film adapted starring Katharine Hepburn, who was in the original Broadway cast, and it won... I believe it won an Oscar for Jimmy Stewart, his only Oscar in a Best Supporting Role, the role that Matt Davidson's playing,
oh,
Mike
wow.
Connor. So I think that the play became more well known as a result of the film, but yes, I think it's a fairly well known show in theater circles.
Oh, cool! Had you guys heard of it before you auditioned or assistant directed?
I had not.
I did. I have a fascination with the Hepburns, so I did know about it.
I had heard about it. I haven't seen the movie yet, and I really really want to. But I definitely knew of it.
Oh, cool. So, and you guys, you're the last show of this season. How's it feel to be closing out the good old spring semester?
It's exciting.
I feel very good about it. When I proposed to do the show, I suggested that I thought it would be a good show to do last because I remember when I did The Importance of Being Earnest, my sophomore year, it was very, I think the two are very similar in the sense that they're very fun, light romantic comedies, and I think that's it's a good way to end the season. Not that The Pillow Man
I was about to say.
From last year was not a good way. I mean, it was a wonderful show, but you...
Like crucifying you
went
a small
home,
child.
You went home for the summer wanting to kill yourself. I feel like you're not gonna want to do that after seeing The Philadelphia... I hope you won't want to do that after seeing The Philadelphia Story.
So this is a this
if
is a real...
You do, we did it wrong.
This is a real sort of like feel-good, happy comedy?
Yes, I think for the most part, the characters in the show go home happy. So if they can do it,
do you
so
guys
can the audience.
Come out of rehearsal happy every day?
I think we do.
Absolutely.
There. Oh, yes. You know, it's the week before our Hell Week, so of course we're stressed. But I'm watching it, and I can't wait to see it with the props and the costumes and the set pieces. I'm so excited about that. And I know that whenever I feel that way about a show, it's going well. So.
And we know it's good when Ted still laughs at the jokes.
I
that
do.
Are the
I
show.
Laugh all the time, and I've heard it for how many months that I've listened to this crap. No. No. It's a great show to watch in rehearsals. So I can't wait to see it actually performed.
Cool. Well, could you give us maybe a little plot synopsis or what's set up the action of the play for us? What's going on when we meet all the characters?
When the play starts, it's the weekend of Tracy Lord's wedding, and Tracy's played by Erin. She's getting married to George Kittredge, who is sort of a self-made man. Tracy comes from old money. Her family's had money for years, but George has worked hard to get to where he is. So there's a bit of class difference there. Her, in a nutshell, she ends up being sort of blackmailed into letting a reporter and photographer come to her wedding and do a bit on that. So
damn.
Yeah, I know. So she's not too thrilled about that, but she ends up realizing that these people who are invading her home may not be the worst people ever. And it's about, I think it's about people kind of meeting in the middle. You never want to judge people when you first meet them. And you start to learn, the more you learn about them, the more you realize that they're people too. And you start to have a little more compassion.
Oh, this is that's very kind of deep, kind of touching.
You tearing up there, Mark?
Do you have a tissue?
A bit.
Uplifting and inspirational message.
I think so, yeah.
Good deal. Mm-hmm. What sort of sets it apart from other comedies, or what made you choose it out of all the different other plays or comedies that you read for, I guess, your final NRT show?
This was a hard one to pick. I read a couple different scripts when I was trying to find a show to do, and this one just kind of jumped out at me because, I guess, as I was reading it, I could see it. You know, I was reading it, I could see it play out in front of me, and I kind of knew how I wanted to do it. And if I can do that when reading a show, I know that I can do it for NRT. So this one, the fact that it jumped out at me, jumped off the page to me, really gave me the confidence to know that this would be a great show for NRT to do.
Cool. What sold the rest of you guys on it, on coming aboard, I guess, as AD or coming on board as actors?
I made them like it.
Exactly. Once again, you had sex with everyone.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes.
As we were saying, like, it is a comedy, and it's a feel-good comedy, but it also, we were talking about this before, like, it has a lot of class to it, not just in in the plot, actually, but, like, it's a classy comedy, like, mm-hmm. And it's just really fun to be a part of, and, yeah, I mean, I personally haven't been in a comedy since my first NRT show. I've done a lot of not comedy, so it's just really, really fun to, like, be making jokes and be smiling, and it is definitely a feel-good, but at the same time, like, there's a lot to it, so.
Mm-hmm. I thought it set itself apart from romantic comedies because the love interest in it tends to get a little bit verbally abused for a chunk of the show.
You?
Yeah. Tracy gets a little bit trod on by her ex-husband, her fiance, and her father.
And who is that? That's
and the reporter. Don't forget Mike.
Oh, and well, Mike is the one who tells her that she's kind of a real person.
Who trods on you?
Oh, first of all, Ryan Simmons, of course, being the ex-husband that we all love. And then the next one would be Jason, who is my fiance, and it's not that he trods on me, he just puts me a little bit on a pedestal that I don't really want to be on. And then Sam Horvath, who plays my father, he comes in and tells me that I have no heart and that that's all that's missing for making me a perfect woman. Mm-hmm. And so Tracy kind of loses it.
But this is darker than the first...
It has its moments. It's just, it's a little interesting for the love interest to have such... Mm-hmm. She cries, it's fine.
But she goes through... most of the characters go through enormous paradigm shifts, and you see that they become better people as a result of all of this suffering that, you know, they have to go through. But it does... I mean, I know... to hear it described, it doesn't sound very funny. It sounds really tragic. But it's...
Doing it as a melodrama.
It's very funny, though.
Yeah, it is. I think it's quite humorous.
Is it a... would you say it's a sort of, like, witty humor, quick humor, low humor? Is this lowbrow? Is this all fart jokes? And
it's very witty. I would call this a very intelligent comedy.
That's where the attraction came for me, because I know it's such quick back and forths, mm-hmm. that you don't always see nowadays. It's a whole different style of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Do you know when this was written?
I believe it was 1939.
Okay. Oh, so this is pretty like classic theater.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're modernizing a little bit, more for the costumes, I guess, than anything else, just mm-hmm. because we're bringing it up to 1954.
And I'm not allowed to say suds.
Yeah, no. There are some topical references that have been cut, but
gee whiz.
Yeah, gee whiz.
I do say golly.
Jiminy crickets.
Holy cat.
Holy cats did stay. But yeah, I think costuming, it's easier. We have a lot of costumes that have this, you know, 80s poofiness in our storage space, so I think we can modify those a little bit to work with the 50s poofiness in terms of the fashion of the era.
What other challenges have you guys come across in putting up the play, if any?
I would say one challenge is just learning the lines. And I don't mean that in a bad way. There are a lot of lines, a lot of rapid-fire lines, you know, going back and forth between actors. Yeah. So there's always that moment when you see someone just kind of panic on stage and go, oh, I know this one, I know this one, I know this one. And, I mean, they do know it. I have complete faith. Oh, Erin's raising her hand that she has done this. This was not meant to single her out.
That's
but,
me.
You know, I know that they know it. I have complete faith in the actors. But it is a challenge getting to that point because there is a lot to learn. Erin is in most of the show. So
yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
she has a lot to kind of shoulder there. So
the banter, it seems to just need to get to the point where it feels normal. Because if I'm bantering with someone, I'm not waiting to think up my next line. I just say whatever's coming out, and that's been the toughest challenge for it. But it seems it's getting so much better, and to the point where you're actually feeling what you're saying, which is highly entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, a natural flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It does feel very natural just watching it. Like you can see the chemistry, you can see the relationships between the characters, and it's all unfolding very nicely.
Not bad. What kind of audience are you hoping to get from this? Is it appropriate to all ages? I would hope, maybe.
I think so. I mean,
think so, definitely. Yeah.
You did mention people being trodden upon.
Not literally.
Tracy gets a little drunk.
She does get drunk, and there is, you know, they do talk about. They bring up the idea of a premarital affair. However, I mean, again, I saw the movie when I was a kid, so it doesn't feel like a big deal for me. And then again, I was also raised on Hitchcock movies, so murder seems like second nature, you know?
awesome.
Awkward chuckle from Mark. But yeah, so to me, it feels completely appropriate for kids. I would recommend it. And the thing is, it's fun to watch. If anything, there'll be a lot of bright colored costumes, a lot of laughs.
You can just go for aesthetics.
I think it'll be visually appealing as well.
Yeah, and along those lines, like if I think people our age are really going to enjoy it, adults definitely, and then kids, I think it's perfectly appropriate because I think they'll laugh, and I think that jokes that may technically be inappropriate for them are going to go right over their heads, so it really doesn't matter anyway.
Self-filtering.
So, yeah, you know, but exactly. I think that it's definitely appropriate for all ages.
And you guys, you said you've been laughing throughout the whole process. Like, it's not getting old.
Oh, no,
I still laugh. Okay. I mean, it's a lot of just, like, me and Adam laughing because there aren't too many other people in the audience. None, really, but...
The two of you.
But that, that will soon be fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've been laughing on stage, but we're working on not doing that.
It's very funny.
All right. Let's see. As typical in all the podcasts that I do, I'll give you guys about 30 seconds of this sort of pure PR to say whatever you want to get people to come see your show. How's that sound?
Sweet.
Yay.
Okay, you guys
great.
Set?
Yes.
Take it away.
Oh, I think you should come see it because it's really, really witty and it's really fun and you'll walk away feeling really good and I'm all grown up in it. That's why I want you to come
she
see it.
She has a habit of playing children. Mainly my fault.
The costumes are going to be beautiful.
Yes.
I'm way excited.
They're
going
to
be ridiculous
shopping.
And we make fools of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think that with a cast that's so... star-studded, at least on an NRT level, you're going to see a lot of people you know, a lot of people you recognize, and a lot of people you've come to love over the years.
And it'll be a great break from studying.
Yes.
Yes, to watch Tracy's misery.
Yes.
Through the play.
Not bad. To touch on one point you said there, not only is this the last show of the spring season, this is your last show, Ted.
Yes.
This is the last show for a few other... cast members, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be Ryan's last show. Matt Davidson, I'm sure, will be around in the summer, but it'll be his last show as well. I believe that's it. Again, I always forget people. Oh, and Alyssa will be graduating as well. She's playing Elsie, our maid, and she likes to mix it up. I don't know how we're going to do this on show night. She comes on stage with a different accent every time, so she's testing out a couple things. I think that'll be fun. But yeah, so we have a lot of outgoing seniors, and... I think it'll be a very good send-off for most of us.
For the summer. Mm-hmm. Something, leave on a high, cheerful note.
Definitely.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
I certainly hope so.
All right.
I know so.
Thank you guys very much for coming out, and break a leg with the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I hope I don't actually break a leg.
Well, that's all we've got for you this week. Coincidentally, that's all we've got for you this whole season. The Philadelphia Story marks the end of NRT's Spring 09 semester, but we have plenty of productions coming up in the future. Keep an eye out for summer NRT performances. And if you'd like to try your hand at all this madness, NRT is holding auditions for the first half of their fall 09 season. April 20th through 22nd, that's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, in the Chambers lobby from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Check out the related podcast for more information. But let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. Once again, this week NRT proudly presents The Philadelphia Story by Philip Barry. It'll be April 23rd through 25th, that's Thursday through Saturday of this week. Every night you can see it at 8 o'clock in 111 Forum, all for free. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.